Acts chapter number 8, if you will, Acts chapter number 8, verse number 26. We're in our series, Acts, the Church Alive. And aren't you glad that the church is alive? Amen. It's not dead. We're alive. And I'm so thankful to be a Christian. By the way, there's a lot of churches across the country giving up on Sunday nights and giving up on Wednesday nights. We're not going to. Amen. I don't care if it's just you and me. We're going to have Wednesday night church. Amen. Brother asked, Brother, we'll just have church. Amen. But I appreciate Christians who come on a Wednesday night and want to learn about God. And I tell you, it's good for our kids to be in church. I know we got a bunch of kids over there, probably 100 kids or so, and they're getting midweek church. And you want to know something neat? I'll share this with you. One of our disciplees, Brother Renison's been discipling, Miguel, and he was saved, not saved in our church, but baptized in our church. And Miguel's been coming now for probably 3 or 4 or 5 months, something like that. And he's been coming on Wednesday nights getting discipled. Well, he brought his cousin with him, Clint. And Clint started coming with him. And Clint, he's probably 30, 40, something like that. Clint was saved a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Come on now.
Yes.
Hey. And then Brother Asprey went to go visit their home, talk about baptism. Clint's son got saved. Isn't that a blessing? Well, it's exciting stuff. So that Wednesday night is a blessing. Acts chapter number 8, if you look with me at verse number 26. Verse number 26, we're going to study a study tonight called Called into the Desert. Called into the desert, and we're really getting to look at the story of Philip and the eunuch, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's, listen, Christians, this story in the Bible right here is a linchpin for how we do ministry. It's a cardinal passage for us on there's so many things about how we do ministry in this chapter, how we witness to people. The reason and why we baptize, and just a lot of action-packed stuff here. So let's look at Acts chapter number 8. Look at verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert. Notice, when God told Philip to go into the desert, Philip, we learned last week, was doing what at this particular time? What was Philip doing? He was a deacon. What else? What was he doing right then? At this particular time, he was preaching. There was a revival taking place. Hundreds and thousands of people were getting saved in Samaria. Stuff was going on right now. A lot of cool stuff. He was busy doing something. It was a revival taking place. He should have just stayed. No. The Holy Spirit of God came along and said, Philip, I need you to do something for me. Right? And look at the next verse. Look at verse 27. I love this. And he arose and went. He didn't argue. But how many want to just go crazy when your kids do that to you? But yeah, no, that's not what Philip did. He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge over all her treasure. He was an important guy. He had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, again, he said, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him. I like that too. Come on now. Woo! When the Holy Spirit speaks to me, I got to do a brisk walk. I don't know if I can run. Amen. He ran and to join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said unto him, understandest what thou readest. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep unto the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And I like this verse. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. Oh, this is a great passage of scripture. Father, I pray that you'd help us to learn something from Philip tonight, or as we see how the church was alive then and it's alive now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As persecution became more intense upon the church, we have been watching this throughout the book of Acts. Christians began to be scattered throughout the world, and they were taking the gospel all over the known world at that time. Philip had gone to Samaria and the Lord was blessing his ministry there. Remember, Jesus stopped at the well and there was a woman there, the woman at the well, and she was a Samaritan. And remember, Jesus told her all the things that she had done. And boy, she was so excited. Remember what he said? He said, if you knew who I was, you would have asked for living water. And I would have given it to you. In other words, Jesus led that lady to Christ. We've done a study on that, how he led that lady to the Lord and led him to himself, I should say, and was able to see her believe in him. She was so excited. She went back into her hometown, Samaria, and told everybody that she could find. So now we see Philip going back to this city, and people are excited. People are ready to receive the gospel. And can I say this right now, please? California is ready to receive the gospel. It is. Listen, young people are looking for the answer. They're looking. They're inquisitive. They want to know what the truth is. Older folks are looking for the answer. They're looking for somebody to love them, somebody to be genuine. Millennials are looking for the answer. The gospel is still powerful. It still works. It's still, all we have to do is be obedient to give the gospel. And so, but there was revival taking place in Samaria. I want you to notice number one in your notes, the call of Philip, verse 26 through 30. We read that tonight, how the Lord spake unto Philip saying, arise and go. Arise and go. Philip had a spiritual call upon his life. Letter A, God called a man. It was a specific person who God called to do a specific task. God came to Philip, and even though Philip was having a success in his ministry, God came to him. And by the way, God calls people to do different things. Brother Mandeville and I were just talking in my office, and we were talking about Brother Robinson over at Lighthouse Baptist Church. How many know Brother Robinson? How many wish you didn't know him? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I love Brother Robinson, one of my good friends, and it was tough saying goodbye to Brother Robinson as he went over that church. But Brother Robinson's being used in that church. Amen? Hey, sometimes people move, God moves people, and so on and so forth. And so God called a specific man. The angel who directed Philip could have told the story to the eunuch himself. Could he not? The angel could have done it himself, but God called a man to give the gospel. God calls men and women to give the gospel to people. Amen. He uses us. And so here's where the rubber meets the road for us, really, is we need to learn how to follow the leadership of the Lord in our life. When God tells us to do something, we ought to say, yes, sir, and do it. Amen. I mean, whatever you plug in the scenario, whether it's God's putting on your heart to work in the bus ministry, instead of saying to God, like one of my children, I won't name any specific names, my children say to me, but, come on now. But God wants me to, you know, God puts on your heart, I want you to work in this ministry. I want you to be involved in this. But, God, amen. Come on now. Amen. I've done it. Have you done it? Amen. But God. Amen. And so we need to learn how to follow the leadership of the Lord. How many of you, God has ever spoken to your heart about something? Raise your hand if God's ever spoken to your heart about something. All right, let's just be honest tonight. We're all together here. Amen. How many of you, God's ever spoken to your heart to do something? You didn't do it. I have. Both hands up. Come on. Sure. And how many of you walked away and you thought, man, I messed up. Oh, I messed up. Yep, I've been there. I was, God put on my heart to give a tract to somebody. And I didn't want to do it. I'll be honest with you. I don't know why. Maybe I was too busy, or I think that's our biggest excuse. We're just got too much going on. And so I walked away, and I went out to my car. And you know that walk of shame, Brother Taylor, the walk of shame. It's like, no, I'm not doing it. I don't have time to do it right now. I don't have time to do it. I know you can bless me. And I know. So I get all the way to my car and I open the door and I see the tracks there and take one back to him. I'm like, all right, fine. So I grab a track. You know what I'm talking about. Come on. Come on. I know I'm not the only one here. Grab my track, take it back to him. And, you know, he was looking for a church. I'm just simply saying that, oh man, when the Lord speaks to us, when he puts something on our heart, we ought to learn how to follow the leadership of the Lord. By the way, God speaks to our hearts in all kinds of different ways. Mostly, it's through reading His Word. Amen? Through reading His Word. How are we going to follow the leadership of the Lord if we're not in this book daily? I mean, we have to be walking with Him so He can show us and guide us. If we're not reading His Word, then we're not being guided by Him. Another way is through preaching. I don't know how many times I've made a decision because of a message I heard. A major life decision. Come on now. Right, William? A major life decision. My life was heading this way. I heard a message. Boy, it changed my life. But how are we going to follow the Lord and hear what He's speaking if we're not in church like we should? And so on and so forth. So God speaks to us. We need to learn how to listen to the leadership of the Lord. So the call of Philip, God called a man. Letter B here, God called a man to the desert. God called a man to the desert. So we see a specific person. God called a man. God called a man to the desert. We see a specific place. God placed Philip exactly where God wanted Philip to be. Now, how many of you ever felt like, what in the world am I doing here? I'm not saying right this second. I'm just saying, at some point, not right now, please, don't tell me that. What am I doing here? No, in your life, at some point, you thought to yourself, what is going on? Sure. You know, God puts us in certain places at certain times for a certain reason. Certain places at certain times, a certain reason. If we'll let God use us. You ever heard this statement, bloom where you're planted? Yes. I hate my job. I hate it. Ah! Why are you in that job? Maybe there's one person there that needs to hear the gospel from you. One person. I think about times in my life where just out of crazy, weird circumstances, God did one special thing. I'll never forget, I was working on the bus route and on South Stockton there. And boy, you talk about a rough neighborhood. 2 weeks earlier, we watched a guy bleed and die, got shot. We watched him die just 2 weeks earlier. Crazy. A teenager was on the bus route, saw that happen. But we just kept going. You know what? We do what we're supposed to do. Amen. So we're going and I'm walking through this place and I mean, I don't know what I'm doing there. I mean, what's going on? You know, and nobody wants to ride the bus from this place, but I'm going. And then I saw these three big gangster looking guys. I mean, they could play basketball with me. You know what I'm talking about? And they're standing up there and I saw them and I looked at them and I thought, man, I don't want to go out there. They're going to throw me off the balcony, you know? They're all standing there, big white t-shirts, you know, big gold chains, you know. And they're just kind of looking at me. So I walked up there and I started witnessing to them. And I led all three of those guys to the Lord that day. Boy, I was scared out of my mind. That wasn't me. One of those guys ended up bringing him to church and he ended up going to Bible college and things like that. But just a brief moment in time, not too long ago, we had Mrs. Luck's funeral. Mrs. Luck's funeral. Just a brief moment in time. But there was a man and his wife who sat over here. Just a brief moment in time. And then they liked it. This church was friendly. So they said, we want to come back. They came back. And that man got saved. Tommy Bullard got saved. Just a brief moment in time. 3 months later, he passed away. Suddenly. We just don't know what God is trying to do. Why is He doing things the way He does it? But listen, if we will let God use us, we can bloom where we're planted. Amen? By the way, can I say something to parents with teenagers? Teach your teenagers to be content where they are. Teach our teenagers to be happy where they are. Don't let your teenager complain about the youth group. Don't let them. Don't let your kids, not just teenagers, your kids complain about it either. Our kids have it way too good for them to be complaining. Amen. I'm talking about kids that, I don't like the youth group because so-and-so, you know, just... No, it's, you know what, buddy, young lady, you're in a great church. You're in a great, don't let them complain, amen? I don't know why I'm talking about that, but I just know teach them how to bloom where they're planted when they're young. Gaza, by the way, where God had sent Philip, Gaza was one of the five Philistine cities about 2.5 miles from the Mediterranean Sea. It was a very rough, it was a very dry, very rough, deserty place. There wasn't really much there, but God sent Philip to this place. There's nothing there. But Philip went anyway. Why is God sending me to the desert out here? A missionary society wrote to David Livingston and asked, have you found a good road to where you are? If so, we want to know how to send other men to you, to join you. Livingston wrote back, if you have men who will come only if they know there is a good road, I do not want them. I want men who will come if there is no road at all. Amen? So that's the way we ought to be. Amen? So we see God called a man to a desert, and then the man obeyed the Spirit's leading. The man, let her see, obeyed the Spirit's leading. Philip immediately arose and went. Boy, he just obeyed the Spirit. We ought to have in our life the knee-jerk reaction. The knee-jerk reaction is to follow the Lord. I mean, that's our automatic, like, I don't know about you. How do you respond to threats, or how do you respond to being in trouble? I don't know how you respond. I laugh. If somebody pulled a gun on me, I'd probably laugh. Why are you laughing? I don't know. Please don't shoot me, you know? That's how I am. I laugh when bad things are happening. It's just how I am. How many know what I'm talking about? It's kind of like our response, our natural response when God speaks is to obey. Boy, God put something on your mind. Don't do this. Obey. I think you ought to get rid of this. Man, obey. Amen. Amen. Come on. And so, boy, we ought to be able to right away. Philip was not only a faithful preacher, but he was a concerned soul winner. Philip ran to the chariot. We live in a day when people often take the path of least resistance. I thank God for people with a spirit of faith and obedience. I'll just be honest here before I go to my next point. The bus ministry is not the path of least resistance, is it, Mrs. Monahan? The bus ministry is like rolling a boulder uphill all the time. It is. Everything fights against the bus ministry. Why? Because that's a ministry that helps people and brings them to Christ. But we're talking about the government is against us, and gas prices is against us, and insurance, and all these things. It's just like rolling it uphill. It's not the path of least resistance, but it is the right thing for us to do. And I praise the Lord for people who are willing to get into the work of God and do it. Number two here, the concern of God. Number two, the concern of God. So not only the call of Philip, but the concern of God. Letter A, God's concern is for the lost. God loved the Ethiopian eunuch so much that he sent a soul winner to reach him. Luke 19:10 tells us this, for the Son of Man is come to what? Seek and to save that which is lost. Philip could have been intimidated, by the way, by the Ethiopian's entourage. He could have been intimidated by the pomp and circumstance, by his his riches, so to speak. As a high court official, he probably would have been traveling with dozens and dozens of people. This teaches me a lesson here. Just because somebody is very wealthy or somebody is very poor, they still, all of them, need the gospel. Amen? And they deserve a chance to hear the gospel. Can you imagine if Philip would have been, well, he doesn't want to know, he's rich. I don't know about you, but I've thought that before. Don't leave me hanging. He doesn't want to know, he's got everything, you know. We don't know that. And so God is concerned about the lost. Every single person, many people in this room today have lost relatives, myself included. We have lost relatives. God loves them and cares about them, and God wants to see them saved. Let her be here. God's concern for the lost, but let her be, God's concern is for the seeker. The Ethiopian was reading about the suffering servant in Isaiah 53. And though the eunuch was an observant Jew, he had not yet found eternal life. His trip to Jerusalem had left him still searching for answers. And how often do we meet people who lived a religious life or go to church or go to find something in some kind of a religious experience but walk away empty-handed? Because, well, there's only one thing that can fill the void, and that's the gospel. Amen? And so God's concern is for the seeker. This man had traveled to Jerusalem to worship. He was looking for something. Most people are looking for something. Right? Am I right? They're looking for the real deal. They're looking for the real deal. And guess what we have? Amen? Amen. Number three, or letter three here, number three. The conversion of the Ethiopian. We see in verse 31 through 40. Would you look at verse 31? With me in Acts chapter number 8, the Bible says, and he said, how can I except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And so he started reading to him. In verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Boy, it wasn't complicated, was it? He just preached to him Jesus. Verse 36, and they went on their way and they came unto a certain water. This is so important for our the way that we baptize as Baptists. I'm glad this is in the Bible. Amen. And they went on their way. They came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" He's saying he knew what baptism was. He understood. He had seen somebody at some point be baptized. So he knew what baptism was. So he saw the water. He knew who Jesus Christ was. He knew that he wanted to follow. He had the desire. And how many times do we meet people that have that desire, that want to know what's right? They want to know who Jesus is. They want to know what hinders me to be baptized, so to speak. And all we have to do is tell them. All you have to do is accept Christ. Oh, can you imagine if there was no church to tell them? Oh, I'm so glad that we have a church that tells not to toot our own horn, so to speak. We could do so much better, couldn't we? But I'm so glad there's a place here that people are told, this is how you can accept Christ. And so we see here, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Salvation right there. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized. This Sunday, I baptized somebody. And I love baptizing people. Amen? But I got a little bit too excited when I baptized, and I went down too far. And the water poured into my waders. So I feel here what Philip was feeling. We both went down into the water. Amen? But we see here his conversion. Letter A here, he read about Christ. He had read about him, Isaiah 53, 4 through 6. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried away our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Can you imagine reading that, not understanding it? He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. It's amazing that a man from Ethiopia who didn't know who Christ was could read the Old Testament and see Christ. And how people today in a false religion cannot see Christ in the Old Testament. Amazing, isn't it? And his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid the iniquity, laid on him the iniquity of us all. You and I possibly have led many people to Christ over the years. I've led several people to Christ over the years. Some of them were absolutely ready to be saved. They've heard about Christ. They know that they're a sinner. To be honest, many people that grow up in church, like a Catholic church, they understand sin. They understand. They know who Christ is. But they just don't understand. They don't know how to connect the dots. They've never been taught. Some people I witnessed to, I'll never forget witnessing a young man in Lathrop. And I asked him if he knew who Adam and Eve was. He said, no. He wasn't joking. He goes, who's that? I mean, so there's all kinds of spectrums who don't know anything about the Bible from people who know who Christ is. But listen, we need to have, either way, we need to have Christians who are good enough with this book to be able to show somebody how they can be saved. Letter B, so letter A, he read about Christ. Letter B, he heard about Christ. So then faith, by the way, Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Philip explained to the eunuch that Jesus was the fulfillment of the prophecy of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 53, in such a clear presentation of Jesus as the Messiah, that even today most Jews will not read it. Though the eunuch desired, by the way, I find that with a lot of cults, with a lot of cults. You want to know how you're dealing with the cult? Read them a portion of scripture. They don't want to hear it. I'll never forget this as long as I live. I was taking a young man to church in his 20s. He got saved in our church. He was from a Pentecostal church. And he came for a while, was doing pretty good. And then he started going back to that other church. And so one day I picked him up for something I can't remember, but I'll never forget. He got in the car and he says to me, he goes, I want to ask you a question. I said, what? And he goes, have you ever spoken tongues to me? He asked me that question. And other than when I burned my finger one time, I had never spoken in tongues. Just kidding. I'd never spoken in tongues. So I said, no, I've never spoken in tongues. And he looked at me with all sincerity. He said, I don't think you're saved. I don't think you're saved. I'm like, I'm taking you to church, bud. You know, like, what's going on here? And I said, brother, I said, I know I'm saved. And I said, I could show you in the Bible. And so I took him to some verses and I showed him several verses. And I'll never forget showing him a specific verse about that and showing him, you know, this is how I know I'm saved. And I'll never forget, he literally did this with his hands. I know I've told the story before, but he literally went like this. I don't care about that. He was talking about a Bible verse I read. He put his hand like this to the Bible. He said, I don't care what that says. I don't care about that. Come on now. That's how you know you're in trouble. Amen. Right. I don't care what it says. Amen. Oh, you better care what it says. Amen. Come on. And so that's where we're at with cults and these types of things. But Philip explained to the eunuch that Jesus had fulfilled this prophecy. The eunuch desired to know God. He could not have been saved until he heard that Jesus was the only way to heaven. And so he heard about Christ and he understood. And he, by the way, let her see, he received Christ. He received Christ. I want to show you something neat tonight. I just was studying this out today. It's incredible. This is absolutely incredible. The King James Bible, which is the Bible we use, by the way, the King James Bible is translated from the received text, or the TR. Some folks call it the TR, the received text. It's the only line of manuscripts that the King James Bible comes from. There are many other manuscripts and translators from the Alexandrian text. We don't have time to get all of that. But we have our Bible. It comes from a certain family of texts. And all these other manuscripts and texts that come from the Alexandrian, all these other types of Bibles, this verse, verse 37, is not there. You could take out your phone. Don't do it right now, but you can later if you like. Go to the next screen there. Let's see if I have one of them up there. In the ESV, you can see I took this right out of the Bible Gateway or whatever it was. And you can see there, it says verse 36, and they were going along the road, came the water, see here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? See that little E there? We'll talk about that in a second. That's verse 37. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the ESV Bible. It says, and he commanded the chariot to stop, blah, 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 baptize him, and they came up out of the water. So let's go to the next screen. There's your footnote. This is letter E. Footnote, some manuscripts add all or part of verse 37. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he replied, I believe it. So this isn't in the Bible, but they add it as a footnote for you in case you want to read it. How many think that verse, this verse right here, 37, is pretty important? Okay, so the ESV, go to the next screen, please. Then in the NIV, the same thing. Verse 36 is there. Verse 37 is not there. I'm not trying to scare anybody tonight. I'm just trying to scare you, okay? So verse 37, it's not there. Let's read the verse together out of our King James Bible. Ready to begin? Verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Why would you take that out of the Bible? It's satanic. That's right. I know some young people and some folks that don't buy into just, well, I don't know about the King James and all that stuff. Listen to me. I'm telling you, it's scary, some of the stuff that's missing. Okay, let's go to the next one. I just picked three. The next one I think is the ASV. Oh, there's your footnote. Some manuscripts include here, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. The eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So again, it's a footnote next. Then the ASV, same thing. Verse 36, there's your verse 37, which just cracks me up that it's gone. You know, just not there. They don't even change the numbering. But L, there's your footnote there. Go to the next screen. There's some ancient authorities insert holy or in part, verse 37, Philip said, so on and so forth. And so I came across that today. It was very interesting to note. Isn't it good that we have the right Bible? Amen? And so I think that's important for us to know. The Ethiopian eunuch was saved and then baptized. He was saved and then baptized. It's very important that we understand that baptism doesn't save us. It's very important to understand that baptism and salvation don't take place at the same time. Amen? They don't take place at the same time. And so the Ethiopian eunuch understood this and was saved. This is the Bible pattern. Once people have received Christ as their Savior, they should be instructed to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. In the story of Philip and the eunuch, we learn that God always has a purpose for His callings, doesn't He? I don't know why God put me here. I don't know why God has me doing this. God has a purpose. Amen? If we look for it, God has a purpose. From a human standpoint, it made little sense to leave a great revival and go into the desert. Yet, it was in the desert where Philip met the eunuch, who returned to Ethiopia, by the way, and founded the Coptic Church, which for centuries was one of the largest groups of believers in the world. The Ethiopian eunuch took the gospel, and we know it's been perverted, but he took it back to Ethiopia, and possibly millions and millions of people were saved because of that one man. God knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. So what's the message tonight? Well, how about this? We use our King James Bible. That's number one. Amen. But here's the message tonight. The Holy Spirit speaking to us, is He not? All the time. He's speaking to us. Here's the message. Let's rise up and follow Him. Let's not, but God. Let's be the yes, sir, Christian. Not the but God, Christian. Amen? That's the message tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed.